Good evening. Thank you for joining us tonight for our time of ministry in the Word of God and our Bible study. Our God is amazing. He's awesome. He's worthy of all our glory and worthy of all our praise. And I welcome you tonight, wherever you are joining us from around the world and on whatever platform. Hallelujah. I trust God that you are enjoying His goodness. You are blessed, you and your family, you and your loved ones. God is good. He's good. He's good. We thank Him for the gift of another day, the gift of another opportunity to come around the Word of God with the saints. What a mighty blessing. What a privilege. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm going to dive quickly into the Word of God, and we'll just take a brief word of prayer. Before we do that, I have a lot of ground that I want us to cover tonight. The Holy Spirit will help us, and when we get done for tonight, we would close it out. But I do have a few things that I know would kind of take us a while. So let's get right into it. Let's bow our heads and share a word of prayer together. Father, thank you so very much. Thank you, Lord, for tonight. Thank you for this opportunity to get together with the saints around your word. Thank you, Lord, for being the sustainer of our lives, the preserver of our lives. Lord, you are our everything. You are our Alpha, our Omega. You are everything in between. Our Lord, our Savior, our King. Hallelujah. Our Master. We bless you today. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit, for your mighty presence with us in this service, in this Bible study. As we get into the Word of God, open our eyes and teach us. Grant us the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Cause the eyes of our understanding to become enlightened so that we may receive everything that you have prepared for us. We give you all the glory, Lord. And we give you all the praise. You alone deserve it. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory, glory, glory. Thank you so much again for joining us tonight. We continue on our teachings on the believer's authority and dominion. This has been a very extensive series, even though we've left some things along the way. We still got some ways to go. I'm not ready to close it out yet. There are a few things I still need to, I believe that the Lord will have us get to. So bear with me as we press further tonight into what the Lord has for us. Let's trust God. Let's trust God for grace, the grace that we need to be able to cover as much ground that we need to cover tonight. My heart is really, as we move forward, beginning to focus a lot on the aspects of our freedom, how to be free from every kind of oppression, demonic, enslavement, and all the different things that the enemy seeks to do in the lives of believers. The people in the world don't really have a defense. They don't have, you know, they don't have a way out. But as believers, the Bible says that, you know, we have been made free. And he says, if the Son will set you free, you'll be free indeed. And then he also says, you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. So my heart is there. I can't quite go there just yet. We still have a few things we need to discuss before we get to beginning to talk about some of those things. But tonight, I hope you have been with us for a while, wherever you have joined us, whenever you have been with us, you are aware of a lot of things that we have already talked about. If you've not been with us for a long time, I do encourage you go over some of the lessons that we have previously done, because that would give you a great foundation. But recently, more recently, we've been talking beyond the fact that we have been given authority as God's children. Jesus said, "Behold, I give unto you authority over every work of the devil, over the power of the enemy. And you tread upon serpents and lions and scorpions and over the works of the enemy, and nothing will by any means hurt you." Luke chapter 10, verse 19. We've also been talking about the fact that we need to be defended. We need to be protected. We need to be in the right place. There's an aspect to walking in authority where, as God's children, we need to be defended. We need to be protected. It's not everything about spiritual authority and exercising dominion and authority isn't casting out devils, isn't stopping the devil and exercising authority in an offensive way. Sometimes, a lot of times, walking in authority also requires that we are protected, that we are standing where we ought to stand, right? And we're under cover. There's a line, several lines in our confession, 2024 confessions, that talk about we are under cover. There's a place for believers to be under cover so that the enemy cannot touch us. You know, that scripture that says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. Well, he wants to devour, but as a child of God, we are protected. We should be protected from his ability to devour us or to destroy anything, steal from us, kill around us, or destroy anything that the Lord has given unto us. Well, these are some of the scriptures we've looked at. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 in the easy to read version. Let's go over these scriptures real quickly so we can get into the things that the Lord really has for us tonight. Easy to read version. Don't give the devil a way to defeat you. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 27 in the easy to read version. Do not give the devil a way to defeat you. Don't give him, some translations say, don't give him place. Don't give him opportunity. Amen. Don't give him any room at all. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 11. He says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. And the Amplified, it says, to keep Satan from getting the advantage over us, for we are not ignorant of his wiles and his intentions. The Good News Bible says, in order to keep Satan from getting the upper hand over us, for we know what his plans are. We know what his plans are. That is to be protected, to be defended. Hallelujah. To be under cover. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3. This is where Paul was talking about Eve and how Satan deceived her. He says, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. And in the Amplified, it says, but now I am fearful lest that even as the serpent beguiled Eve by his cunning, so your minds may be corrupted and seduced from wholehearted and sincere and pure devotion to Christ. We know how Satan deceived and seduced Eve in the Garden of Eden. Of course, ultimately, Adam. We know Satan is the god of this world. The Bible says he's the god of this world. When did he become the god of this world? When Adam and Eve sold out to him in the Garden of Eden. And how did that happen? He deceived Eve. He attacked her in her mind. He lured her, he seduced her until she believed his lie. and they walked in disobedience and did what God had commanded them not to do. It is extremely important that we shut doors in our lives. And as part of being defended, part of being protected, is we must shut the doors that give Satan access in our lives. In that garden, the doors were not shut. They had no business conversing with Satan through the serpent. Eve had no business doing it whatsoever. And Adam didn't have any business joining her in that rebellion. Amen. Our doors need to be shut. And these doors, this is why we focused a lot on being defended and being protected and playing defense, right? When the Bible says don't give Satan a way to defeat you, we know we've got to shield ourselves with the help of the Holy Spirit. Well, one of the ways we do that, we recognize doors in our lives that Satan seeks to take advantage of. Of course, he's always going after us in our minds. But then there are other doors. There are vulnerabilities and weaknesses sometimes that we have. There are personality traits. There are desires that we have that Satan seeks to exploit. We know in the case of Eve and ultimately Adam, one of the most significant doors in the life of every human being, every believer, is the deception of self-preservation. We talked a lot about that last week, and I'm going to pick it up from there tonight. Glory to God. You know, these doors, I love that scripture in Hebrews chapter 11. Let's read that real quickly. Hebrews chapter 11 from verse 1 to 3 talks about some of these doors can be weights. Some of these doors, they are weight. They can be weights of vulnerability. Some of these doors can be sins. Some of these doors can be weaknesses, personality traits, some of the things that we've talked about already. Sometimes generational yokes also constitute doors. We've talked just a little bit about that. And I think I would make some more mention of some of those things as we go forward and discuss the concept and the power of freedom, being set free from the oppression of the enemy. But it's extremely important to recognize that in his madness, Satan seeks to use a lot of vulnerabilities, a lot of things that we may not even be paying attention to. They're not all sin, but some of them definitely are. Some of them are just weaknesses. In Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 1 to 3, it says, therefore, then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth, let us strip off and throw aside every encumbrance, unnecessary weight, things that weigh us down spiritually. They may not necessarily be sin, but they are things that make us vulnerable. They weaken us. They weigh us down. They make us, you know, when a runner is seeking to run, you know, you want to run, you want to be as light as possible. You've trained, you've exercised, you've prepared yourself. You don't want to be saddled by weight. You don't wear heavy boots, right? If you're a sprint runner, you don't wear heavy boots. You don't wear heavy garments, right? You want to be as light as possible. Amen. And anything that will saddle you and anything that will constitute a weight on you, you want to get rid of them and get as light as possible, right? It says unnecessary weight. And that sin that so readily, deftly, and cleverly clings to us and entangles us. So entanglements and things that put us in bondage, complicate our lives, habits and desires and practices and thoughts that we align our minds, that give Satan an open door, give him access. The Bible says get rid of them. They may not necessarily be sinful at the moment, but they will eventually lead to sin, because they will give Satan access, and that access will cause him to enslave us. Says that sin that entangles us, and let us run with patient endurance and steady and active persistence the appointed course of the race that is set before us. We are runners. We're spiritual runners. We're running here. And even though it's a marathon, it's like a sprint each time, because you want to cover as much ground as possible each time. You don't want to say, yeah, it's a marathon, so I can go as slowly as I can. Well, you may never arrive. You want to cover as much ground as possible each time. So he says, let's run with patient endurance. Then he says in verse 2, looking away from all that will distract us to Jesus, who is the leader and the source of our faith. Jesus is the focus. He should be the focus. And everything else that can be a distraction, everything else that can draw our attention away from the focus of the Lord Jesus Christ, we should get rid of them. Anything that takes away God as the center of our focus, those are the things that constitute self-preservation, the deception of self-preservation. Anything, the cares of this world, anxieties, worries, desires, fears, some of those things that enslave us to the enemy. The Bible says Jesus should be our focus. Given the first incentive of our belief is also the finisher, bringing to maturity and to perfection, bringing our faith to perfection, who for the joy of obtaining the prize that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising and ignoring the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. So doors are all of these different things, right? They can be weights, they can be vulnerabilities, weaknesses, personality traits, things that limit us, things that distract us. These are doors, and the Bible says we should look away from all of those things and keep Jesus at the center. How will I make it? Whether it's cares of the past, cares of the present, cares of the future, how will we make it? How do I deal with that from last year or from last month? Or how do I get free from that from 30 years ago, or from 2 years ago, or from 3 weeks ago? How do I make that right? How do I move forward? How do I secure my future? How do I secure the future of my children? How do I make sure that as I go forward, I'm secure and I have all that I need? Those are cares. Yes, we do have a role to play in planning as the Holy Spirit guides us, but we should not be saddled with the cares of this world. Bible says sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, right? Let's be thankful for the things that God has given to us. And if it's within our ability, if we have the opportunity, then plan for different aspects of our future within the graces that God gives to us. That's definitely very important, but this should not be cares, because the Bible says cares choke the word. You know, the cares, remember the parable of the sower. It says some of those seeds that he sowed were sown among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked the seed. They choked the word. And he called those thorns the cares of this world. Now, self-preservation is being consumed by cares and trying to take care of ourselves. I will take care of me. I will secure my future. I will, if nobody's looking out for me, I'll look out for myself. I'll do everything I can to make sure that I'm not left stranded as I go into the future. No, none of us has the power to take care of ourselves. God is our source. God is our source. Now, the scripture we left off with last week, 1 Peter chapter 5, I alluded to that earlier on in this service this evening, 1 Peter chapter 5, but I actually want us to read this from verse 6 Hallelujah. And I want you to see what was it about this fruit in the Garden of Eden that became so attractive to Eve? Why was she so taken by the thought of being like God when she was already like God? She was made in the image of God. Why did she fall into that deception of the serpent? Like she'll be wise. That's what he was telling her. But she was already wise, right? The wisdom of God is in the word of God. She is in the presence of God. She's in the spirit of God. She already had all that, right? But what was it? Was a desire to secure her future by herself. A desire to preserve what she had. And by her own abilities and by her own strength to be able to increase what she had and maintain it and keep it. Self-preservation is such an evil. That deception is such an evil. And the only answer to it is trust in God. Trust in God. And it takes trust in God to walk with God. It takes trust in God to be secure in God. Not to be afraid, not to be full of fear about yesterday, full of fear about today, full of fear about tomorrow. I understand all the different circumstances and the things that the enemy tries to keep before us all the time. But to be secure in God, to be confident in Him, that's the guarantee of an eternal future, a well secure future. Amen. All the questions that we have that we can't answer, to cast all the cares on the Lord. Lord, I don't know how to deal with this. I cast this care upon you. I give you this. I don't know how we're going to take care of that. Lord, how does that happen? Lord, I give you all these cares. It's yours, Lord. You take it. And once you give it to the Lord, you let Him have it. You don't go back and keep taking it. Go back and keep taking it. That's how to prevent, that's how to be defended from that deception of self-preservation. Let's read in 1 Peter chapter 5 from verse 6. Let's read from the Amplified Version of the Bible. It says right here in verse 6, therefore humble yourselves, demote yourselves, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, so that in due time He may exalt you. Part of humbling ourselves, part of demoting ourselves is to recognize we don't have the ability to take care of us. We don't have the ability to secure our future by ourselves. We don't have the ability. Amen. Part of demoting ourselves under the mighty hand of God, humbling ourselves under the mighty hand of God, is recognizing God is the source. He is our covering. He's our helper. He's our provider. He's our protector. He's our everything. Right? And He will never hide anything from us. The Lord will reveal everything that we need to have in it as we go. He will show us the things that we need to see and the things that He considers are not necessary yet. He won't bother with them. To humble ourselves, to know, humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and to rest confidently in Him. Look at verse 7. I'm reading in the Amplified. Casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him, for He cares for you affectionately, and He cares about you watchfully. Casting all of your cares upon the Lord once and for all, because He cares for you. That is the protection from the deception of self-preservation. God cares for me. God has me covered. God will take care of me. I'm not my own caretaker. God is my caretaker. I didn't get here by my own abilities. God will carry me through. He'll take me through obstacles. He'll take me through difficulties, mountains, valleys, and He'll give me the upper hand over every difficulty that I deal with. He'll answer every question that shows up on my journey. I trust Him. I trust Him. And the things that I don't understand and the things that I don't know what to do, I cast those cares upon Him. I don't carry the cares. I don't hold on to the burdens. I cast the cares upon him. Hallelujah. Now, then in verse 8 it says, be well balanced, temperate, sober of mind, be vigilant and cautious at all times, for that enemy of yours, the devil, he roams around like a roaring lion, in fierce hunger, seeking someone to seize upon. Withstand him in faith. Withstand him, be firm in faith against his onset, rooted, established, strong, immovable, and determined. I want you to see all of these are connected. You know, this the word of God is not written verse by verse. It's a contextual series of directions, instructions, and narrations, revealing the heart of God to man, so that we can walk with God, we can be pleasing to Him. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So all of these are in context. They are in sequence. To humble ourselves before the Lord is to be willing to cast our cares upon Him, to trust Him. And trusting God is the greatest way to be protected from every deception, including the deception of self-preservation. Casting our cares on God, all of them, knowing that He cares about us. You think somebody might take advantage of you? Well, the Lord has your back. You think somebody might defraud you? The Lord has your back. Yes, of course, we should be watchful. We should do due diligence in everything that we do. But once we've done our part, then we should rest in Him. We shouldn't stay awake all night trying to figure out everything and trying to plan and strategize over how, you know, people will not do us in. They won't steal from us and how we end up not being holding the bag by ourselves without help. You don't stay up at night doing that. You rest in God. And it takes humility to do that. But then once we do that, then it's easy to be sober. It's easy to be vigilant. It's easy to be well balanced in our mind. And then to be able to resist the devil, to be firm against his onset. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. If Eve did that, if Judas did that, if Cain did that, their stories would have been written differently. Right? If Eve trusted God, if Eve cast her cares on the Lord, if she believed that God told her the truth, would she have believed that serpent? No. Because the serpent was saying something completely contradictory to what God said to them. How about Cain? If Cain trusted God, he would have given God his best. Knowing God is back, God will take care of him. Amen. And on like that, right through the scriptures. Glory be to God. Now, some of these doors, I just want to mention that some of those doors, including self-preservation, this deception of self-preservation, some of the doors, vulnerabilities, some of the sins, so the doors that constitute sins, many of those things are access points to the enemy. And if the enemy grows very strong in those areas and he begins to exercise great oppression over us in those areas, it is very obvious that before long, we lose our ability to stop him at his onset. And when the enemy takes hold of areas of our lives, he does not let go. That's really one of the most significant explanations for generational cycles. Because when he comes in somewhere, either through somebody's error or somebody's failure, ultimately, he holds on. And he won't let go. And generation after generation, he's going to keep taking advantage. In fact, in the New Testament, the Bible, when Jesus was talking about when a demonic spirit is driven out of a man, of a human being, you know, he goes around and he comes back and he says, I'm going to go back to my house. He calls him my house. Like when he attacks generational lines, you see these same things repeating in generational cycles because he believes that's his territory now. When something becomes a stronghold and there's no destruction of that stronghold and those oppressive forces remain, well, Satan then replicates that generation after generation. That's why you see similar traits in generation after generation. And sometimes it gets worse with each succeeding generation. Glory be to God. But when we take our place and some of the different things that we've talked about, but in addition to trusting in God, in addition to casting all our cares upon him, in addition to stopping him, to withstanding him in faith at his onset, well, what happens then? Then there's no access. He can't get in. And if he can't get in, then he can create an oppressive situation in our lives or in our families. There has to be somebody who is a gatekeeper in every family, in every generation. There should be a group of people that say, no, Satan, there is no way for you here. Satan, I'm not giving you access. You are no way for you in my family, no way for you in my life. You are not coming in here. And then, of course, a part of exercising dominion and enforcing the freedom that we have in Christ is some of those things that have already come in, to recognize them and to cast them out, to break his stronghold. And we'll talk about some of that in another session. When something is there and we recognize there's a stronghold for the enemy here, well, then we have to drive him out. Jesus said part of the anointing that he received, which we also receive, is to set the captives free. So when there's captivity, generation after generation after generation, and certain things keep showing up, there's strongholds there, there's captivity there, there's sin and oppression there, well, the power of the Holy Spirit, when people recognize their place in God and they recognize the authority that they have been given in Christ, they can exercise that authority and dislodge those strongholds and stop that stronghold from continuing to manifest in their bloodline. Hallelujah. But trust in God, and I think that's really what I want us to spend the rest of our time in this service talking about. I mean, I know one service is not sufficient to talk about it, but let's do whatever the Holy Spirit helps us do with that tonight. Amen. To not fall into the deception, the lie of the devil regarding self-preservation, but to trust completely in God, to learn to trust completely in God. What is trust in God? Hallelujah. What is trust in God? Yeah, you know, trusting in God is having God be our confidence. Like, our confidence is in him. Like, we are confident in God regarding everything that concerns us. Glory to God. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 5, it's one of our very popular scriptures. And so, of course, trust in God, hallelujah, is like, just like many other important aspects of our relationship with God, is one of the most important attributes that a believer needs to learn. I know it's defined as firm reliance on the integrity or the ability of a thing or a person. But trusting God is really, it's putting one's confidence in God's ability, God's sovereignty, God's timing, God's judgment. That is, I'm confident in God's decision. I'm confident in God's provision. I'm confident in God's arrangement. I'm confident in God's timing. Whatever time he chooses, that's a good time. I'm confident in that. I'm confident in his sovereignty. He's able to do everything. He has no liabilities. He has no failures. He has no weaknesses. I'm confident. That's trust in God. So when God is our trust and we have confidence in him, then there's no room for self-preservation. There's no room for that lie of the devil that tells us, you know, everything that comes to us has to be, it has to be a result of what we are able to do for ourselves. That's not true. We trust God. We are confident in God. Look at Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 5. Thus saith the Lord, cursed is the man that trusts in man and makes flesh his arm, and whose heart departs from the Lord. So when we make somebody or ourselves our own strength, there's a curse there. There's a lot of strongholds there. He says, however, he says, look at it. He says, for he will be like the heath in the desert, like a shrub, and shall not see when good cometh. So he will not see when good comes, but he will inhabit the parched places in the wilderness and in a salt land not inhabited. When our confidence is not in God, when our confidence is in us or in something that we know or some person, the Bible says we will not see when good comes. We'll inhabit parched places in the wilderness. But when our confidence is in God, look at what it says there. It says, but blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters that spreads out our roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaves shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. When God is our confidence, look at the way the Amplified Bible puts it. It says, most blessed is the man who believes, the man or woman who believes in, trusts in, relies on the Lord, and whose hope and confidence the Lord is. For he or she will be like a tree that is planted by the waters, that spreads out its roots by the river. It will not see or fear when heat comes. So even in times of adversity, you won't see it. You won't feel it. Yeah, it's raging. The storm is raging. But it won't touch you. It won't touch you, not as in you won't experience difficulty. Of course, that's why it's called adversity. Because you are experiencing that difficulty. And you are uncomfortable. And it's challenging and threatening. But the Bible says you won't see it. It won't take over your life. And when you come out of it, there'll be no evidence of it on you that you ever went through such a thing. It says you will not see it when heat or fear when heat comes, but its leaf will be green. It shall not be anxious and full of care in the year of drought, nor shall it cease yielding fruit. It won't be anxious. Even when things feel uncertain, you won't worry about it. When there's so many questions that concern your survival, your future, you won't worry about it. You just rest in God. Why? Because you trust him. You trust him to take care of you. You don't trust you to take care of you. You trust God to take care of you. He's your shield. He's your helper. He's your glory and the lifter-upper of your head. You trust him. That's trusting God. That's trusting God. Of course, someone who wrote a lot about trust was David. David had so much to say about trust. A lot of his Psalms had so much about trust. Look at Psalm 20, verses 7 and 8. Glory to God. The 20th Psalm, verses 7 and 8. He says, some trust in chariots, some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Amen. Our trust is not in chariots. Our trust is not in horses. Our trust is not in the strength of the things we possess. Our trust is not in our strength. Our trust is not in our smartness, our shrewdness, our ability to think of everything before they happen. No, no, no. Our trust is not there. Our trust is in God. We remember the name of the Lord. The name of the Lord our God. He says, they are brought down, verse 8, they are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and we stand upright. Those who trust in horses and chariots are brought down and they fall, but we stand upright. We are risen and we stand upright. Amen. To trust in God, to take care of us. Let's look at Psalm 52. Another Psalm of David. Psalm 52. Glory to God. Verses 7 and 8 as well. I trust God. Say that with me tonight. I trust God. Say it. I trust God. I trust God. Say it. I trust God with my life. I trust God with my health. I trust God with my job. I trust God with my provision. I trust God with my business. I trust God with my ministry. I trust God with my family. I trust God with my marriage. I trust God with my children. I trust God with everything that concerns me. I trust God with my career. I trust God with my past. I trust God with my present. I trust God with my future. I trust God in everything. I trust God in everything. Amen. Psalm 52 verses 7 and 8. Talking about a man who trusts in himself. You read the previous verses before this verse 7. Lo, this is the man that made not God his strength, but he trusted in the abundance of his riches and strengthened himself in his wickedness. David is describing a man. And there was actually a man like that who went and his name was Doeg. He went and exposed David when David went to Abimelech the priest. This man was one of the servants of King Saul, and he went and told and reported that David went to the house of the priest or to the temple and brought great harm to that priest and the others that were there. And David was saying, this man, Doeg, is, you know, self-preserving. He's doing all of that, want to get forward, move ahead with Saul, be in his good books, in his good graces, and secure his future through Saul, and, you know, create a good place for himself in Saul's kingdom. And then Saul's kingdom is about to fall. Saul's kingdom is sure to fall. It's already been judged by God. This man doesn't know it. He's doing everything he can, including going to expose David and put the priests, the high priest, in harm's way. And bringing so much destruction on this God servant because of his scheming to self-preserve. David said, this man, look at what he says about him. I mean, you should read the entire psalm, but I don't have the time tonight. He said, this man who did not make God his strength, but trusted in the abundance of his riches, strengthened himself in his wickedness, this man will be judged. Look at it in verse 5. If you back up verse 5, God shall likewise destroy this man forever. He shall take thee away and pluck thee out of thy dwelling place and root thee out of the land of the living. So exactly what we read in Jeremiah 17. The cursed is the man who trusts in man, right? He will not see when good comes, but he will dwell in the parched places of the wilderness. He will be like a shrub that will never grow, will never increase, will never enlarge. He will inhabit the parched places of the wilderness. He will never have the blessing of God's abundance, even though that's what he's scheming to have. But look at what David said about himself in verse 8. But I am like a green olive tree in the house of God. Hallelujah. I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. Why? Because I trust God. Look at it. He says, because I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I trust God. I trust God. The one who's trusting himself, trying to self-preserve, trying to scheme to get themselves secure and secure their own future and all, the Bible says they would be plucked out of their dwelling place. But I am like a green olive tree. Hallelujah. In the house of God. Why? Because I trust in the mercy of God forever. I'm like a green olive tree in the house of God. I trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. Glory to God. Let's look at one more. Psalm 125. Psalm 125. I know my time is going here, but I want to talk just before I close here. And how we can grow in trust. This is something we must do every day. We must do daily. You don't grow in trust once and for all. No, you don't develop trust once and for all. No, you constantly, every day, grow in your trust and confidence in God. Every day, by the decisions you make, by the thoughts you allow yourselves to think, by the steps you allow yourself to take, you grow in trusting God every day. Every day. It's not a one time thing. Oh, I trust God. I learned it yesterday. No, every day. And there will be new opportunities for you to try to take care of you as you move forward. For you to try to preserve you as you move forward. For you to buy into that deception of the enemy as you move forward. But every day you would also have fresh opportunities to trust God. To look at situations and say, that's okay, I trust God. When it looks like you may be losing everything because you obey the word of, don't worry about it. You obey the word of God, don't worry about it. I trust God. God has my back, he'll take care of it. I trust God. I'm confident he'll take care of it. It's a daily, ongoing thing. Bible says in Proverbs chapter 3, from verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will establish your path. He would guide you. He will make all the crooked places straight. Don't be wise in your own eyes, right? These are opportunities we're going to have every day of our lives. And every day we're building that building block of trust. We're laying one building block after the other of trusting God. Every step we take, every move we make, I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. I trust God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Look at it in Psalm 125. Let's read all the five verses there. From verse 1 to verse 5. Psalm 125. Glory to God. Glory to God. David said, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion that cannot be removed, but abideth forever. Well, think about this. Adam and Eve did everything they could to self-preserve, but did they last in the garden? No. They lost it all. They were removed completely. But the Bible says, they that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed. When you trust God, you cannot be removed. You can't be removed from your place. You won't lose. Nobody can take your inheritance. Nobody can steal your possessions from you. That door is completely shut. They that trust in the Lord shall be as Mount Zion, that cannot be removed. You cannot be removed. Your trust in God secures your future, secures your destiny. Maybe you are young today, secures your midlife. Maybe you are in midlife, it secures your later stages, later years. Maybe you are retired, it secures your retirement, it secures your future. Your trust in God. Your trust in God does. They that trust in God shall be as Mount Zion, which cannot be removed but abides forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about his people from henceforth even forever. For the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous, lest the righteous put forth their hands to iniquity. The rod of the wicked will not rest on the lot of the righteous. Why? Because they trust God. That door is closed forever. And like I said, we keep growing in that. Every day, we lay one more building block of trust in God. That door is closed to the enemy forever. You don't try to put yourself ahead to gain a promotion. Yes, you do your part depending on where you are, you know, and you do your part, due diligence, be led by the Holy Spirit. But you don't like that man Doig, wherever he's pronounced, that Doig, the Edomite, whatever his name was, the servant of Saul. You don't think the way to get ahead, the way you will get ahead in life is by pulling somebody else down? Now, I'm going to expose David so I can get in the king's good books. And he doesn't realize the king himself is about to lose his kingdom. Hallelujah. No, the rod of the wicked shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. There's no access for the rod of wickedness to afflict you. That door is closed. That serpent cannot come into your garden and get you expelled from that garden because that door is closed. I trust God. Our time is almost gone here. Let's try to close this out. Hallelujah. I trust God. I trust God. Let's quickly read this in Psalms 37. I've got to try to close this. I see my time is almost up here. Psalm 37, let's read the first 7 verses. Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way unto the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring it to pass. And he will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Mm-hmm. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger, forsake wrath, fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evil doers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I trust God. Say that with me, I trust God. Well, how do we build trust? Every day. Every day. Every day. What are the steps we must take to build trust every day? Trust in God every day. Number one, attend more to God's word. Constantly attend to the word of God. Constantly. Prioritize it in your life. Pay attention to that word. Obey that word. Obey that word. Increase in that word. Give it its place in your life. Glory to God. Glory to God. Number two, refuse to dwell on contrary reports. Refuse to dwell on contrary reports. You may hear things that suggest to you that what God said is not so. Refuse to dwell on it. You can't stop yourself from hearing it. Some of these things just come and you hear them, but just refuse to let them stay in your mind. That's what Eve should have done. You should have, that thing should have gone in one ear and gone out the other ear. There's no room. I believe God. I trust God. What God said is so. Amen. Refuse to dwell on contrary reports. Number three, develop in deeper intimacy with God. Continually, every day. Deeper intimacy with God. I trust God. The closer you are to God, the more you will learn to trust God. I trust God. Number four, refuse to allow your physical senses to dictate your decisions. Don't be mind-led, be spirit-led. Every day, be spirit-led every day. Don't listen to your mind that says, oh, that's the way to do it, because if you do it that way, you get there, you go there. No. Be spirit-led. The Holy Spirit has all the answers. He is always right. He knows things that we don't know. He's been there already, way ahead of us. Be spirit-led, don't be mind-led. Don't allow your physical senses to dictate your decisions. When Eve was told about this fruit, she shouldn't have looked so close until that fruit became, wow, it looked like this fruit is so pleasant to the eyes. No, that should never have happened. Don't allow your physical senses, no matter what your mind is suggesting, go to the Lord. Go to the Lord first. Don't make that decision based on what it looks like. Don't make that decision based on what they said. Make the decision based on what the Holy Spirit has imparted into your heart. Hallelujah. Finally, make it a habit of committing your cares to God and resting in Him. Cast your cares upon the Lord. Cast your cares. Cast them every day. Lord, here it is. I don't know what to do with this. Here, I give it to you, Lord. I trust you to take care of it. There come the questions about things that are pending and things that something bad could really happen if this is not taken care of. Lord, I trust you. I trust you. This report from the test I did in the doctor's office in the lab, I've been told this medic, they're telling me something, but Lord, I trust you. I cast this care upon you. I trust you. Trust God every day. Grow in that trust every day. You are not your own God. You are not your own keeper. You are not responsible for your future. God is. Because He lives, you will live also. What's that in Psalm 16? He said he's the portion of my inheritance. He maintains my lot. That's God who does that. He's the portion of your inheritance. He's the one who maintains your lot. Father, we thank you tonight. We trust you. Our eyes are focused on Jesus. No matter what it seems like, no matter what we've heard, no matter what we've seen, Father God, we trust you. We take all the cares now, we give them to you. We cast our cares upon you once and for all, and we're not taking them back. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. I speak the blessing of heaven on all of my brothers and sisters tonight, that they are establishing trust. They will be like that tree that is planted by the rivers. I thank you, Father, for securing their future permanently and eternally. I give you all the glory and the praise. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Thank you, saints. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Our time is up. We got to go. I look forward to seeing you again same time next week. God bless you. Good night.